Roland shook his head. I think it was more like the sort of firework the barons used to sometimes shoot into the sky at their year-end parties. Bright and startling, but not dangerous. Eddie had an idea. The doubling in your mind, Roland. Is it gone? Did it leave when the bone exploded or whatever it did? He was almost convinced that it had. In the movies he'd seen, such rough shock therapy almost always worked. But Roland shook his head. Susanna shifted in Eddie's arms. You said you were beginning to understand. Roland nodded. I think so, yes. If I'm right, I fear for Jake. Wherever he is, whenever he is, I fear for him. What do you mean? Eddie asked. Roland got up, went to his roll of hides, and began to spread them out. Enough stories and excitement for one night. It's time to sleep. In the morning, we'll follow the bear's back trail and see if we can find the portal he was set to guard. I'll tell you what I know, and what I believe has happened, what I believe is happening still, along the way. With that, he wrapped himself in an old blanket and a new deerskin, rolled away from the fire, and would say no more. Eddie and Susanna lay down together. When they were sure the gunslinger must be asleep, they made love. Roland heard them going about it as he lay wakeful and heard their quiet after-love talk. Most of it was about him. He lay quietly, open eyes, looking into the darkness long after their talk had ceased and their breathing had evened out into a single, easy note. It was, he thought, fine to be young and in love. Even in the graveyard which this world had become, it was fine. Enjoy it while you can, he thought, because there is more death ahead. We have come to a stream of blood. That it will lead us to a river of the same stuff, I have no doubt, and further along, to an ocean. In this world, the graves yawn, and none of the dead rest easy. As dawn began to come up in the east, he closed his eyes, slept briefly, and dreamed of Jake. 19. Eddie also dreamed. Dreamed he was back in New York, walking along 2nd Avenue with a book in his hand. In this dream, it was spring. The air was warm, the city was blooming, and homesickness sobbed within him like a muscle with a fishhook caught deep within it. Enjoy this dream, and make it go on as long as you can, he thought. Savor it, because this is as close to New York as you're going to get. You can't go home, Eddie. That part's done. He looked down at the book, and was utterly unsurprised to find it was You Can't Go Home Again by Thomas Wolfe. Stamped into the dark red cover were three shapes, key, rose, and door. He stopped for a moment, flipped the book open, and read the first line. The man in black fled across the desert, Wolfe had written, and the gunslinger followed. Eddie closed it and walked on. It was about 9 in the morning, he judged, maybe 9:30, and traffic on 2nd Avenue was light. Taxis honked and wove their way from lane to lane with spring sunshine twinkling off their windshields and bright yellow paint jobs. A bum on the corner of 2nd and 52nd asked him for a handout, and Eddie tossed the book with the red cover into his lap. He observed, also without surprise, that the bum was Enrico Balazar. He was sitting cross-legged in front of a magic shop. House of Cards, the sign in the window read, and the display inside showed a tower which had been built of tarot cards. Standing on top was a model of King Kong. There was a tiny radar dish growing out of the great ape's head. Eddie walked on, lazing his way downtown, the street signs floating past him.